bit rusty since we haven't really released anything in a couple of months, but today we are going to be trying to figure out what we're talking about as we go along here, but really a focus on what we're calling a physical thumbprint dog,
physical fingerprint, or
physical or, fingerprint,
maybe signature way of moving, essentially. But
so it's not
good to be back.
Yeah,
good thanks to be... for introducing me. Good to be back. Phil's really selling this episode right off the top there, saying we don't know what we're talking about. That's kind of true.
We never do. We never do, though. So that part hasn't changed. We're going to try to define what we're talking about as we go. But essentially, what we're trying to do is finding actors and actresses that kind of have a different physical makeup, or there's something about their bodies that adds to their performance. And we don't know what to call it. So maybe by the time we're done with this podcast, we can actually have a full description of what we're talking about.
I like physical fingerprint because it is more about like their unique way of moving that sets them apart,
right,
or maybe gets them specific roles.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I like physical fingerprint because it's like they have their specific unique way.
Okay.
So I think that's what I wanted to touch on.
So what we're not talking about here, though, Doug, just for everyone else to be clear, we're not talking about body transformation. So this isn't like a Christian Bale thing where he loses and gains a bunch of weight. This isn't...
Right. And it's not... I don't think it's body type either.
No.
We're not just talking about specific body types. We're talking about a specific way that someone carries themselves or moves throughout, you know,
right,
a career on screen.
Yeah. So when I was coming up with my list, I was just like, okay, like... There's actors of all like different weights and heights, and so this isn't about like what, like you said, like body type. Like not every single person who's just short or tall or fat or skinny or whatever is gonna make this list. It's really specific in the fact that they're using their bodies, like using kind of like a little bit of unique makeup that to really bring home their performance. So like, I feel like there's a cookie cutter, like you just go to like any type of like action movie and there's like a, I don't know, like Chris
Statham.
Pratt. Statham, like those guys just are like in shape and like they're like...
They're kind of homogenous. The way they move is a little bit interchangeable. So they could, you know, fit other roles or other people could take that role and it wouldn't necessarily... It comes down to their acting that sells the point rather than... You
right,
know, their body type.
It's kind of like they just get like a standard Hollywood body. That's not what we're talking about. We're looking a little bit more unique here. And actually, what kind of made me think of this, I recently saw the movie Poor Things, and in Poor Things, there's Willem Dafoe plays like this like father slash laboratory guy. Where clearly in the movie, if anyone's ever seen it, he has like prosthetics to like enhance like different features of his body. But there is something about Willem Dafoe's body and body type and the way that he carries himself in the majority of his roles that just, it makes it feel like you're looking at like someone different. Like this isn't a body that you would just see walking down the street. Like it's not
so
like an average body.
He almost slithers a little bit.
Yes, yeah.
Or almost like a rat. And that's this. I don't mean to be derogatory in any of this, or you know. But he the way he moves, like Boondock Saints, he's always kind of moving around with his shoulders and dancing. But also in Spider-Man, he plays the Green Goblin and has that bent over, almost like menacing or it's. But it's very, when you see it, you can almost see a silhouette and it's, and you know, it's him, the way he's moving. And he's a bit of a chameleon in that he can play all these different characters and different roles, but certainly brings his own presence to the screen.
I feel like the way he can shape his face too, to kind of almost like have it, this angular, like squinty look, like helps when it comes to like making him like a villain and like the Green Goblin, like you're saying, like it helps to just, I don't know, because he looks so different, you automatically associate him as just kind of like, I don't know, scary in some ways. I think slither was a good word when you said slither, because he does. He kind of just like sleeks around. He doesn't move like you or I or like a normal Hollywood actor would move. And I think that's part of his allure and part of what goes into his performance.
You think we move like normal Hollywood actors?
No. We move like people. I don't know. Like if I see you walking down
the street. Actually, you very much have your own physical feel. Like when I could see you walking down the street and it's very, you have a unique way of moving. Okay. And same with basketball. Like I could be without my glasses and blurry eyed, and I would know it was you.
Well, I could tell you coming down the street too, but I'm saying for the average person, you're my brother. So, I mean, of course I'm going to recognize you as
it yeah. is. So the one that I would always choose up. So, I mean, you were mentioning his facial construction.
That's part of it. His face looks. That's part of it.
It's part of it, but it's not everything about what we're talking about today.
No.
Because I wouldn't put Steve Buscemi in this category of having a physical, like a unique fingerprint.
He does
have one of the most unique faces in Hollywood, but I wouldn't say that he moves so different than everyone else. Like a little bit. But
I agree. A lot of the Sandler movies he's in, it's more about like what his face can do rather than his entire body. Mm-hmm. Like it's.
Right.
He's clearly an ugly dude, right? Like, hopefully Steve Buscemi doesn't hear
as they
this.
Say in, they say in Fargo, they just kind of funny looking.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
more than most. the actor that I would use to describe it to the concept to Dad was Danny DeVito, because Danny DeVito, I mean. And that's his body type is, well, it might be because of his body type, because of the way he moves, but he's brought his own sauce to the way he moves.
For sure.
I mean, Phil and I are huge Always Sunny in Philadelphia fans. And when Frank, who's his character, comes in, just kind of like, yeah, and he moves in such a hilarious way nobody can mimic it.
I think a couple of years ago in the Super Bowl commercial, he played like a peanut M&M, and that's kind of what he's like.
that's good casting right there.
That's kind of what his body looks like. It looks like two arms coming out of a peanut M&M.
Well, it's funny. I watched, going back to Willem Dafoe, I watched Fantastic Mr. Fox recently, and he plays the rat who's kind of slinking around the security rat. So that's also, anyways, that was good casting there too. And I think it was intentional. But Dan DeVito, I mean, as the Penguin in Batman is
another good one.
He kind of has that penguin movement actually. Like he sort of moves like a short, stout penguin.
And he had to be in his like late 20s, early 30s when he's playing that role, right? Like, so like he's always looked like this. I mean, we know as Frank from Always Sunny.
In his 30s.
Yeah. I mean, that was like early 90s, right? Late 80s, early 90s, the Michael
Keaton.
Yeah, but
he was in Taxi in like the 70s, I'm pretty sure. So he's, I think Dan DeVito's like, he moves uniquely. Like that was the whole bit on Taxi. He was always behind, he was the guy barking orders from behind the desk so you couldn't see how tall he was. And then they'd bring him out to confront somebody and he was just like this, you know, little short, stocky presence. His presence was the joke, just kind of like the fact that he's this big personality and this unique body.
Yeah.
I don't think there's
been a single role that he's been in where he's just like, okay, this is just like a regular, like shaped, like every single role. I can't think of one where it's just like, okay.
Right. Oh, this is just a normal guy.
His body is always a part of either the performance or the comedy, right?
Yeah, right. He was cast in Big Fish, which is all about oblong shapes and like oblong people. And he's just like perfect for that. So he was a good one. But I think let's broaden it out a little bit.
Before we move, I do have kind of like a category of all short people. And now I don't have, just because you're short doesn't mean you belong in this list. But I kind of want to go through people who are between the ranges of 4'5 and 5'5, who I think fall in this category. And the fact that there's only a foot's difference between the person I'm going to start with and the person I'm going to end with, I think you'll find funny. All right.
Well, I think something we've learned, most actors skew smaller. I think the screen, doesn't it like smaller people?
Yeah. Just hold on for this list. It does. Like
the camera,
Tom Cruise is like 5'6", 5'7", And like
same with like Mel Gibson and all those.
Yeah, but we see them as like big movie stars, right? Like not necessarily like in stature, but like the camera makes them seem big, right? The camera makes them seem. There's nothing alarming about their height or weight or makeup when you're seeing this. I'm not talking about this. So let me start with Peter Dinklage, right? So Game of Thrones, he's a, he's a little person who's in Elf, a bunch of other different roles. He's very like really good actor, but clearly because of his, you know, his makeup, like that's always going to be a part of his character, right? Like there's
Though I
gotta say, sometimes in Game of Thrones, I would forget that he was a little person in Game of Thrones. Sometimes, like,
for sure, he's an incredible actor.
Yeah,
he, you know, they'll cast him, and I'm sure he's been cast in roles where they're not bringing direct attention to the fact that he's a little person. But I mean, his presence on screen, you know, that's it's a huge part of who he is in a lot of or who he, you know, the way he represents himself on screen.
I mean, in Elf there's definitely like stuff where he's like launching himself at Will Ferrell and like just like doing certain physical things that probably got him the role, right?
I think this is more the realm of body type rather than what we're talking about, though. I think this is a body type more so than what we're talking about in terms of unique physical fingerprint. So I don't think I would see a silhouette of Peter Dinklage and say, "Oh, that's Dinklage."
I think I would. Anyways, next one. So, what? How tall do you think Peter Dinklage is? If you had to guess,
I couldn't.
I think I just said it at the beginning. He's 4'5". He's 4'5". Danny DeVito is Danny DeVito is 4'10". So he's only five inches taller than Peter Dinklage.
that's really tiny. He's,
right? Okay.
I mean, I wonder how much, what does he weigh though? Cause I wonder what his, what are Danny DeVito's, numbers there? Cause it's it must be hard to like find clothes like that too, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
For small.
I mean, I would think these guys are rich enough. They can get them custom made, but yeah, you would think. And then Game of Thrones, they always had his outfits in Game of Thrones are always kind of like, they always fit him perfectly. Anyways, so Danny DeVito, I'm going up the scale. Next is Rob Snyder at 5'3". So I think when you and I did our pre stuff, we kind of went back and forth on Rob Snyder. But Rob Snyder uses, he has to, right? Like he has to use his body.
Whether he has a unique physical fingerprint, I think he does. And it's kind of, for me, it's the way that he uses his neck. On
or lack thereof.
Right, or just his shoulders, or the way that he moves around is, I can't really think of anyone who else moves like him.
Next, I have Joe Pesci, who I feel like is.
I had him too.
And then last is Jason Alexander. So this ranges from four, and Jason Alexander's 5'5", Joe Pesci's 5'4", but these are all guys that I think, like their physicality goes into every single role they play. I mean, Jason Alexander, Pesci, we could just go right down the line, like Home Alone and, you know, Goodfellas and really anything that he's in.
Yeah, so both Pesci, so what were their heights, Pesci?
Pesci was 5'4", and then Jason Alexander's 5'5".
Oh, wow, Pesci's 5'4", and smaller than I would have thought.
Jason Alexander being 5'5", I mean, clearly in Seinfeld, they're always referring to him as the stocky bald man. He looks like Mr. Peanut sometimes. And like, it was Shallow Hal. He's also in Shallow Hal. He's Jack Black's best friend. And like, they're definitely like doing stuff with his body. I think they give him like a tail or something. And
so,
like,
okay. So, right. I actually watched that recently. It's actually not a terror. It's a bad movie for a lot of reasons, but it was watchable. I enjoyed watching it again. I just like Jack Black.
What do you think about Jason Alexander's body? Like, is that someone that you would say, okay, that's his silhouette?
Yeah.
Like, I know who he is.
So, okay. So you have me, now that you've put it, like listed out a bunch of actors in a row based on their size, I'm wondering if we're talking about people who use their stature to their advantage. So
that's exactly what I'm talking about.
But Willem Dafoe, has a unique physical fingerprint. What we were talking about, he moves in a specific way.
I would argue if you put Willem Dafoe in, like, if you put his acting chops in another body, I think he's just another guy. I think he part his body is part of why he gets roles and part of why he's made it as far as he does, because it's just so unique. His voice too. He's got like this like really like kind of raspy deep voice that really doesn't match what you're looking at, which I think goes into it as well. And then obviously we said all the stuff about his face, but I'm saying strictly his acting chops. He's an eccentric actor, but there's a bunch of eccentric actors out there. There's not a ton of eccentric actors that have that slither ability like you were talking about that Willem Dafoe has.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And what I'm suggesting is, so I had Jason Alexander and Joe Pesci on my list, that they have this unique physical fingerprint. But what I'm wondering is if they're just, it's just they're using their body type to their advantage.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if they actually fit the bill of what we're talking about. You're making me second guess my choice to have them on the list of unique physical fingerprint, because I think same with Dinklage. So I think Dinklage uses his size to his advantage and is uses it as a strength. Same with Pesci. Same with Danny DeVito. I wouldn't say that about, because he has such a unique way of moving. Whereas like Jason Alexander and Joe Pesci, I think they use their stoutness to their advantage to like beef up their roles and to exacerbate like their, you know.
But you said you did have them on your list. Now you're thinking that they're not
initially, or? But now I'm saying, now that you put them in this category of just like smaller people, you know, I'm saying, was that my brain saying, oh, that's just, you know, they have their own physical fingerprint, or this is just a person using their size to their advantage on screen?
All right,
so like let me some give you self-awareness, which is being a good actor, you know.
Let me give you some other shorter people that I decided not to use, and that's Elijah Wood. Didn't decide to use him. I mean, Tom Cruise, obviously, we talked about him.
So he's not using his size to his advantage.
That's what I'm saying. Well,
he does in The Lord of the Rings, and then a little bit in Sin City, but in most of his movies, his size is a non-factor.
Right. So, I mean, I didn't use him. Like, Kevin Hart is 5'2". I don't, like, they make short jokes about him, but I don't think that he's using his body as a physical advantage or something that sticks out in movies. It's just like, okay, there's a short guy. Let's move on. It's never really part of his role. You know that Prince was only 5'2"? Prince, the singer?
I didn't know he was that. I would have said 5'2". You know, like 5'5" or something.
I mean, he's slight, but he's seen as like a sex icon, and he's only 5'2".
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't put him on that list. Michael J. Fox, 5'4".
That sounds about right, yeah.
I mean, when he was doing his Back to the Future stuff, yeah, he's kind of like a scrappy little guy, but I wouldn't say he used his body to his advantage like the other guys that we listed before.
But I want to move away from the body type thing a little bit and get back on to topic of what we're actually trying to define. So that
well, I thought that is like physical.
No, I'm deciphering between the two. So someone who uses their physical stature to enhance an acting performance is one thing, and another thing is a person moves so specifically and brings that presence to the screen.
Okay.
I'm saying there's a difference.
So what about like physical?
Maybe not.
I guess I wanted to stay away from more physical comedy, right? So are you saying...
It's hard to. So we're talking about... So like...
What about Kramer? Staying with Jason Alexander, would you say Kramer is someone who... He's a physical actor, but I don't know if his body is necessarily... Like...
He's got a unique physical fingerprint, just in the stiffness. It's not necessarily just the height, it's the stiffness and the bobs and the,
yeah,
you know, the, and he brought that to every role. If you saw him, he was in Airheads, and his presence it's so notable that you can't ignore it.
Okay.
And I think it's a combination of body type, presence, acting ability, like, but it's also what we were talking about before is the specific person moves a specific way and they bring that to the screen to add to the character, as opposed to their person is this size. And if there isn't a difference, maybe I'm being too specific. Well, or,
no, so that's hard.
I think there's a difference.
We're not talking about physical comics. We're not talking about physical, like.
Okay, so like Dave Chappelle has a unique physical fingerprint. Like you could see a silhouette of him moving, even smoking a cigarette, or even he moves in such a specific way that I don't think anyone could like really mimic it.
I did not have him on my list, but I don't see him as that different and unique. I know what you mean. He has mannerisms that are very recognizable, but as far as his body or like his makeup,
the way he moves, like right, the way he falls into a joke, like he'll laugh into something. Like
if he didn't have a cigarette in his whatever, the way he smoked a cigarette, you could tell his silhouette. Like that's the assignment you gave me.
He moves his shoulders, the way he delivers, you know. I think his the way he moves is a huge part of why he's funny.
His comedy.
Which is why the last couple he's been on. I find him less funny when he's sitting down.
Okay.
He's a lot funnier when he's moving, and I think he has that unique presence that we're talking about. But it's hard. It's hard to avoid comics because I think Hollywood and a lot of these. The movies, mainstream movies, they do want fairly homogenous movement, or like there is this image that they have for, you know, a stud male or like a leading role female. Because I certainly struggled finding females that fit this.
All right.
So
I have a list of them.
This idea.
I have a list of them right here. And
okay.
Again, I try, like, you'll see that's all type of different types of body types, but I you know, this. Isn't the skinniest, this isn't go ahead.
So why don't I lead off with mine, because we both were like, yes. So Dolly Parton moves a very, very specific way. And I have no idea how, I wouldn't imagine she's super tall, but I don't think she's super slight either. She moves very specifically.
She does, and it's also, again, going to the silhouette, like that's, you can tell Dolly Parton's silhouette, like this is, someone who has a unique body that you just don't see every single day. And I think that she has used her body to, you know, to boost her acting, singing career and all of that. Like, it's not necessarily about the movement. It's not about how she moves necessarily. I'm talking about the actual body itself. Like, when you and I were talking before, we were like, let's define silhouette, like a definitive silhouette.
Well, you were talking, yeah, but we are talking, your primary example is Willem Dafoe and how he slithered. Like,
yeah, that goes into it, but it's also the angular face. It's like kind of like the slinky body.
So you're talking about the physical body, where I'm talking about the presence more, right?
Okay.
I thought we just, because I threw out the word essence beforehand. You're like, no, not essence, because like it's like a
It wasn't essence. It's actually
no. And I said, I'm saying, all right, it's not essence. It's a physicality. It's a way to move. So it's in the movement, not necessarily the structure itself.
I think the structure defines the motion, right? Like when George Costanza is skipping around, or if he's like doing the you know, shirtless flex, like part of that is like, okay, like this is a very unique shaped body that the scene wouldn't land home. Whether it's comedy or action or whatever, unless he had this particular makeup, right? Like Danny DeVito, like him as Frank, or him as, like, you know, whatever, in Twins, him and Arnold Schwarzenegger, which is another guy I'm going to get to, like it doesn't land unless he actually has his body. Now that body moves differently because it starts differently. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Whereas,
but Willem Dafoe isn't structured all that differently.
Maybe not.
So and like, but what about like another one on my list was like Christopher Walken.
If you see Poor Things, you're like, okay, Willem Dafoe is just different. Like in the way he, I guess I'd go, I'm saying move, the way that he looks as a Green Goblin, like that's just different, right? Like,
But it's in the movement. It's not in the structure.
Okay, so maybe I led you astray with Willem Dafoe because he's not as obvious, but. I don't know. I feel like his face and the way that his head shape goes into it.
And it's the same. Dan DeVito, I don't think the movement is necessarily a sole product of his slight of his slight body. I think it's the way he moves. It's the bop. It's the energy mixed with the body.
Then we disagree. I think his body is shaped like that. So, and you say it's slight, it's more stocky waddle, but yeah, it moves different because it's shaped different. Anyways, what were you saying about Christopher Reeves? What were you saying about him?
Well, no, Christopher Walken.
Oh, Christopher is another Walken.
Person who I think has a pretty unique physical ID. But he, you know, I would guess he's 6'1", something like that.
So not he like seems taller. He seems taller, but yeah.
I think he's just lanky. I think he's just lanky.
Yeah.
But the way he moves, there's a reason Fat Boy Slim chose him for the, you know, the video. What's the name of that song? The World's Dangerous.
Praise You.
Dangerous. Is it Praise You? I think it was another song. Anyways. But it's because of the way he moves that they chose him for, that he was so perfect in that music video. It's highlighting what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Is that unique physical movement. And Walken has got it. And he's got it in the voice, too. So Walken's got it. He's got uniqueness all across the way. He also has a unique face. But what I thought we were talking about, again, is the movement and how it looks, rather than just body types. Because that's why I took Pesci and Alexander off my list, because at that point it's just they're smaller guys who are using it to their advantage rather than someone who just moves uniquely.
Okay, I've got some women. You said Dolly Parton. I think we can both agree on her. Let me run through a few others. And again, before I do this, it's not just because of their, you know, like beach body figure or the fact that they're maybe a heavier set actress. Like, I really think that these people use their body differently than maybe someone else would. So anyways, I have Dolly Parton, obviously. Pamela Anderson. I have Melissa McCarthy. I have Rachel Dratch. I have Kathy Bates. And I have Kim Kardashian as well. So
who is Kathy Bates?
Kathy Bates, oh, jeez. She's kind of like a Southern, she's a bit bigger woman, Southern, what else was she in?
Oh, she was like in The Office versus, she was in Waterboy?
Yes, she's the mother from The Waterboy. She's
Bobby Boucher's, yeah, she was also in The Office towards the end.
So this is Kathy Bates.
Yeah, I'm looking at her. Yeah, yeah, she's in American Horror Story.
Right,
one of those. Yep. Yeah. She's a great actor.
So the reason I brought her up is not because she's heavy set, but because like whenever she her body is almost like she's kind of always portrayed as like the old like wise woman, and she portrays pain a lot with her body. And like you see her body, you're like, okay, that would be a painful body to be in. And a lot of her roles are painful.
Oh, geez, I don't know.
Are painful roles, and like. Because her body is shaped the way that it is, it goes into the performance. You go into the belief a bit, like you believe that, yeah, she's in pain.
So give me examples. Like, I'm just thinking Waterboy where she's
yeah, Waterboy's perfect. She's like this old mother. Right, this old mother who's in pain at home. I'm helpless without my poor Bobby. Like, and you believe that she, you know, she's always kind of hunched over and stuff. And you believe that what Bobby is going through, or like, Bobby Boucher, like it is actually physically paining her to see him succeed in another role other than being, you know, his little baby at home the entire time. Like that is a perfect example.
She's a physical actress, you're saying. So,
yeah.
So that's okay. So do you think, so now that we've gotten this far, let's pump the brakes a little bit. You understand what I'm talking about when I say unique physical fingerprint, right?
Now
I think I understand what you're talking about in terms of you were more fixated on the structure and then what that structure brings to the screen, or how they use the structure on the screen, right?
Yes. But okay. it stems from the structure. Like, they're not getting the roles if they have a different body type. They might be able to teach, I might be able to teach myself to move, you know, to mimic what Danny DeVito does, or like what Joe Pesci does, or what Kathy Bates does, but I can't physically bring it home the same way they can because of the base of their body, what they're starting with. The way that their body is shaped delivers the message of pain, or delivers the message of scurrying around better than I could, because I'm just not, you know, I wasn't born with the same body type as them.
But there are a lot of people with these same structures who don't necessarily move the same.
Correct.
That's why
I'm not including every single fat person or every single tall person or every single.
Mm-hmm.
It's the base, and then the movement comes from the base. So.
Okay. That's fair, but I think there are exceptions to the rule, and I think what you're right. Yeah, you threw me off with Willem Dafoe because he doesn't have any specific body type. It's for him, it's more the way he moves. So, anyways, but I think we get where each other's at now. So that that's going to inform our lists. You know, our lists are informed a little differently, our ideas. So
I've got another category, and maybe this might throw a whole nother wrench into it, but. I think that there's three guys that are like so big and strong that it's alarming, and pretty much every single role has to do with their physicality in one way or the other. I think the three major guys, and they're not unique, but I think that the three major guys who have done it over the last 40 years are Arnold Schwarzenegger, The Rock, and Lou Ferrigno. There is not one role where you're just when you're watching them and you're just like, that is a massive, built different human being, and their role is enhanced by their size in that. Like, there's definitely big guys. Like Hugh Jackman gets big for Wolverine, and like Zac Efron just for his latest role as in the Iron Claw or whatever it is. Like, they get big. You're like, oh shit, they're big. But these guys are just like so big, it's different. And there's when you're watching them on screen, you never forget like their stature, and it goes into a lot of their roles.
Yeah. I think Dave Bautista is one of those guys as well who, like, so their silhouette, going back to the silhouette thing, I could probably tell The Rock from a silhouette.
Mm-hmm.
Schwarzenegger probably. Because the shape of his head as well.
Yeah, head shape goes into this, dog. Head shape definitely goes into this.
Yeah. I know. I understand where you're coming from. I'm just seeing how it applies, how your list now applies to my definition, and if it does. So can you respect the difference, right? So,
yeah, you're talking about motion. And quite honestly, I can't believe if you're talking about the way people move, I can't believe you haven't brought up Jim Carrey already. I mean, he's one of our favorites.
Well, yeah, we're getting there.
Okay.
We're getting there. I mean,
I would have started with that. By the way that I'm hearing,
I started with Danny DeVito. I mean, Danny DeVito is one of the most unique body movements there is. But yeah, of course, Jim Carrey. Well, and I'm going Chris Farley, and I'm going Jack Black, and I'm so like, yeah, all of these guys have like their movement, the way they moved on screen, especially Jim Carrey. He's Rubber Man. No one has touched it. No one has touched that level of physical comedy since. And Farley, it was all about just like controlled chaos, a hurricane on screen.
Yeah. I think he's the first
to
do it. So that's why I would include Farley. I wouldn't include Jack Black because I think
if you Jack Black, it's in the dancing. So he basically dances in every single role, and that is his special sauce, is like his little dance moves, his shaking his hips and like doing the circles. And even the way he moves his head, like I don't think that his roles are what they are unless he's moving the way he is.
Could you tell Jack Black's silhouette from?
I think so. Okay. Yeah. But it might be more difficult though. If a moving silhouette. Yes.
Okay. See,
a moving silhouette, yes.
I think I could tell Farley's because of that bowl cut haircut. And also, there's just a certain amount of round snowman that he has. And he could move.
He's standing a little wide. His arms were always out.
Right.
His arms were always out a little bit. And
yes.
Yeah, he's very specific. It was the fit of his clothes, too. He always seemed to wear, like, slightly too small. Like, not even tight, but small clothes. Like, they're always a little bit short on him. So... That's part
I don't
of
think
too.
He was crazy tall either. I think if I had to guess, I'd say he was right about 5'7", 5'8", himself. I don't think he was that tall.
Yeah, he's average. Those are obvious ones for sure. They have a unique physical fingerprint. They move. I could tell them by their silhouettes. You know, Jim Carrey is that lankiness, but also how he would stand for a posed image is nobody else can kind of mimic that. Jack Black's thing can be mimicked. That's the thing.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't think he didn't make my list.
It's his own thing, though, but it can be mimicked.
Right.
Because I think Adam Devine from Workaholics is got a lot of Jack Black in him, which I love him. But he's got a lot of his moves, or one similar to it. And he doesn't have a similar body type, but
no, but it's almost like that
similar presentation,
like a fat ballerina or something like that.
Yeah, that's how they agile. I love so. All these people are typically agile, so they're doing lots of movement and flexible stuff, and you know, and have that. So my list was all about movement, but so with going back to taking a couple steps back with females. Female actors. So we had Dolly Parton. You said Kathy Bates. Who else did you have on there?
I had Pamela Anderson, Kim Kardashian, Melissa McCarthy,
Anderson. I think you're reacting to like the way she. I mean, she had a large chest. Like she was a big, impressive woman. She'd stand out like that. Like the way she would stand.
She didn't have. She used her body to her advantage to get those roles. Like. She, mm-hmm. her body, there's a hundred different hot, sexy Hollywood actresses. She's not the first person who is having sex appeal to get a role. Or, I'm sorry, to be in Hollywood. But she used her physicality, I feel like, to elevate what her acting chops were, right? Like,
sure.
the barbed wire, the obviously Baywatch, like any type of role she got was all about her physical makeup and way less about her acting skills.
And what was that one where she was out on the boat and then she was with the drummer and it's really windy.
You might want to check. Yeah. You're at mom and dad's right now. Go home, go downstairs Google and check that. The hard drive.
Google that one. Pam Anderson, not on a boat. I can't remember the context.
It escapes me. It escapes me. But
yeah, she's good now. Do you think she she applies to my definition? Does she move uniquely enough to where? I mean, the Baywatch run is pretty iconic,
exactly, and that has everything to do with her body. So yes, if she was again like you were saying with Jack Black in motion, there's no doubt I could tell who that is.
Well, but that's culturally relevant.
She wore her hair a little bit different, like it was kind of messy and
She did have a unique head shape, kind of. Yeah, you're right.
And her jawline was just like it looked like it was built in a lab. It's just like that's not normal. Like that was something about her physicality was so much different than just the next beautiful Hollywood starlet. You know what I mean? Like it was to me.
It was a little different. It's just a little different, I guess. Didn't make my list initially. And what was another?
Melissa McCarthy. I think breaking it down, that's more of like a Black Jack role. So if I don't have Jack Black on there, I'm not sure if I'd keep her on there. But her role in Bridesmaids, when she's just like lifting her leg up and like doing all these, like rolling around.
Hilarious.
Yeah, it was really funny. And I think at the time it was, maybe we just hadn't had an actress like that in a while
because she does move pretty uniquely. But I think it's in this case, it might be the structure informing the movement.
When she was doing Sean Spitzer on SNL, when she was just like moving the podium around, like that was very physical.
But her face, you're right, her face has something to do with it too. Her face helps sell it. Mm-hmm. And she's just an extremely funny person.
Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian was my last one. And the reason I say that, she just uses her body to sell. Like she definitely has like a unique, very unique shape. Weird. I think that actually was built in a lab, but she definitely uses that to promote all of her products and I don't know, wear her outfits and advertise for whatever she's selling. So I think that she uses her body to elevate. Like, because there's hardly, in my opinion, much interesting about her, or I don't think I would have given her a second look, or even anyone would. I don't think she was side by side with Paris Hilton and people were just walking right by her. And then I think she did stuff to her body to help elevate where her status is today. Right or wrong, I think it's actually right, whatever. If you have that, you know, drive, or if you have that look, like that look, if that's what you're going for, and if that's what's selling for you and working for you, then go for it. But I, to say that her body isn't a part of her brand, or isn't, like you could recognize Kim Kardashian's silhouette, even though you probably
silhouette.
Yeah,
I wouldn't necessarily recognize her movement though. But yeah, just because of a, you know, she's, yeah, there's been some iconic images where it's like, okay, that's Kim Kardashian. So I understand that one. I'm not sure it would have been on my list. So how about this one? How about Tina Fey?
Yeah.
Is Tina Fey?
I thought about
it. So for me, you know, I'm a big 30 Rock fan, and the way that she walks, the way that she moves on screen is so natural. Well, it's real. It's real and it's her. And I skipped past date night the other night, and it's the same that when you see it, when I watch this person move, I'm like, yeah, that's Tina Fey.
Yeah.
There's like a slight, not a limp, but like almost like a,
no, it's clumsy. There's a little bit of clumsiness to her motion. And like she does, yeah. She has like these like almost like longer forearms than you'd think. Her neck's a little bit more pronounced than most. So
she emphasized it. Like she emphasizes the shoulder shrugs and the eye rolls. Like that's kind of a part of her character in 30 Rock and some of her other, like, but I think that she specifically, the way when I see her move, I'm like, that's Tina Fey.
Yeah. Again, so the only reason she wasn't at the top of my list or in that group of females, I consider it, she's right on the line. It's because of keep going back to the silhouette. Like, I'm not sure if I could recognize her if she wasn't moving.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, if it was Liz Lemon, the character, I could probably recognize her hair and like the way by her clothes, maybe. But yeah, I'm not sure that the silhouette one applies. But that's not, and then that's one where there's not necessarily body type. And she also, she speaks in a specific way too. She has this little cut on her. She actually, interesting Tina Fey story, she got slashed, her face got slashed from a mugger when she was like a kid. And it anyways, you can look that up, an interesting thing that happened, or it didn't seem to affect her too much. But anyways, she speaks in a specific way too, that's like very unique. And just her whole delivery is, and it's nothing that you can necessarily put your finger on in terms of like, well, that's so different, but it's just her unique presence.
I don't have her on my list, but I agree with you. I have two major ones here for you that I don't think are debatable, but you've challenged me almost every single person I brought up. So
that's what I do. Yeah.
All right. So Andre the Giant in Princess Bride.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Can we move on from that? Yeah. Andre the Giant is just, he's...
Yeah. Well, he's one of a kind, so... Yeah.
Okay.
That's a silhouette thing. It's a movement thing. Yeah, sure.
And then there's an actor called Andy Serkis. Serkis. He's played roles such as Gollum / Smeagol. He's played Caesar in The Planet of the Apes. He's in Star Wars. He's the new Snoke or whatever. He's basically the new Emperor in the later Star Wars series.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yep. And
he's used he's a very hunched over. I don't know if he's necessarily short, but he's definitely got like different proportions.
He's a little bit more slight. He's a little bit more slight where he can get down in the crouched position pretty quick.
Yeah.
And bring his legs up real quick. I've seen him on interviews and stuff. So he's, well, a lot of people didn't know, the Smeagol character is not just CGI'd. It's him doing the movements with the CGI attachments to him. Mm-hmm. And then they create the computer-generated images based on his movements. So someone is actually working that as a puppet in a way, that the Smeagol character. So that's the way, and same with, you know, which is why he was great for Caesar in the chimps, Planet of the Apes movie, because he moves very specifically, and it is. I mean, what's unique about it? Like, how do you describe the way
the fact that he's so hunched over and like kind of like, he's just naturally low to the ground. He naturally has kind of a little bit longer arms, and it just doesn't look proportionate to, like, again, quote unquote, a normal human size, right? That he uses, mm-hmm. he uses kind of that hunch.
That we normally see on screen.
Right, that we normally see on screen. And he uses that to advantage to get these roles that I don't think if, you know, Ryan Reynolds stood in as Caesar, he couldn't pull that off because he doesn't have that body type, right? He just has, Ryan Reynolds has like the, or whatever, he has like the prototype Hollywood
homogeneous,
yeah,
tough, or built
actor. What we're used to seeing on screen, Andy Serkis does not, and because he has that, you know, because he's been given that type of body, or you know, that's why that role is that much more believable, because it really stems from his body type. He played Alfred in the new Batman.
Oh yeah, Batman. That's right.
And I'm like, well, how do I know that guy? It was just weird to see him in like human clothes and not playing some sort of like animal or something that needed to be low to the ground and galloping or like he usually does, and to see him like in a regular clothes, or like I guess he was in a tux in the new Batman, but it was just kind of, I'm like, how do I know this guy? I've seen him in everything, and then I go to his IMDb and most of the stuff he's wearing heavy makeup and is usually using his, you know, his natural hunching body type to get that role, so that's why I have him on here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's pretty good. Sorry, my mind was wandering to a lot of musical artists, actually, just like, because I was saying homogenous for the screen. So I think, you know, Hollywood really reveals itself when you're talking about body stuff and like how people move. Like they certainly are looking for specific, there's an idea of what's, you know, good looking or what's attractive and what type of body they think what people want to see, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's why we can talk about some of these people, because they're not as typical in that realm. And I think in the realm of music, you're more likely to see unique movement, unique body type. So, sorry, this is like a complete left turn, but Snoop Dogg was kind of on my list. In terms of how he moves is very specific.
Yep, and I can for sure.
Silhouette. Scott Weiland was another one from STP. Probably can do the silhouette thing.
Elvis.
Elvis, sure. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not everybody. Like, I'm not sure if I saw John Paul and Ringo in silhouettes, I'm not sure I could tell the difference between them. So it's not, this isn't across the board, but there are people who move uniquely. I think Prince moves pretty uniquely.
I couldn't believe he was 5'2". I couldn't believe that when I was doing some
research. I knew he was smaller, but it's funny that they don't really mention that in the Eddie Murphy True Hollywood Story and the Chappelle thing. They play basketball with him, but they never mention his size.
I think it's just the way that he always wanted to be portrayed, right? Like, I don't think he ever wanted to be portrayed that way, and like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. In any of his performances, it was never obvious, like, oh, there's a really short... Like, he's as short as Kevin Hart. Like, when you see Kevin Hart, you're like, okay, that's a short guy. Whenever I saw Prince, I never... Maybe in Purple Rain, he looked a little small, but he was just kind of like a young kid almost in that.
I'm pretty sure Cat Williams is about that size, too.
Yeah.
And he brings that uniqueness to the stage. But I think... It's more, you'll find these body types more often in the realm of music and stand-up comedy and, you know, in elsewhere in the world necessarily. I definitely struggled to fit female actors into this category in terms of just like no one really stuck out in my head as moving so specifically. And I think that really speaks to kind of like homogeny in Hollywood, or, you know, they really have an idea of how they want people to look and move. Especially when it comes to women, you know, there's something there where you don't see as often the unique or more realistic body types, honestly.
I think it's getting more and more like that, like more realistic, but like, Jim Carrey isn't a realistic body, right? Like, just because he's not the homogenous, you know, Hollywood star, he he has such a slinky body, or like he's just got such a rubber body that
I just. So who is that on the female side then?
Well, I don't think anyone. I just don't think that like that any type of women are built like him at all. Like,
I would argue that there are, but they're not. The way that Hollywood works is that they're looking for what their idea of beauty and sex appeal on screen rather right. than.
Well, then,
I bet you name
a type of woman's body that you don't see on screen. Like, what, like.
Just that. I'm sure there's some Jim Carreys or some taller, stronger women, maybe, like athletic types. Or maybe even super small, short, like, I don't know. Like, I'm just saying short and stocky or stout or, you know, just shorter. I think there's a pretty homogenous body type in Hollywood. And the fact that, like, in my brain, I fire off all these unique movements, like walking, Snoop, all these guys. And just, it was much harder for me to find that for women. And I think I just wanted to call attention to, I think it's telling, in my opinion. It's like, well, why aren't there more unique body types? And I think that's because of, you know, what they think casting. Sex sells or whatever. Or like
the, you're right. No, I think the majority of movies need the standard Hollywood starlet body, like sex appeal, right? Like that's needed more frequently than any other type of person. But like, I mean, there has been movies like Precious, right? The movie Precious, like they
this isn't solely across the board, and I think heavier set women are more likely to be included because it's a more obvious like nod to inclusion almost. Mm-hmm. It's like, see, we are inclusive. There's a heavy set person instead of like, oh, here's a person who's like not exactly. Like, not everything's proportional, or like this, like they have a weird stance, or not a weird stance, but a unique, you know, there's one shoulder's higher or something like that. You know, you see less of that and more of size and proportion focus.
Yeah.
Which I'm just think is kind of bullshit. But I mean, you know, I'm not naive to like what Hollywood is either. So I don't think I'm like really educating anyone.
Yeah,
just something that I wanted to observe.
No, like I mean, of my 20-25, I think I only have 5 or 6 women listed here, so I struggled mm-hmm. as well. So I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as many opportunities or a wider lens that fits them into the Hollywood, you know, picture. So, all right, dog. As always, I'm sure that we have missed some obvious choices here. So, this being the first podcast we've done in a while, would love to dust off our old Instagram and keep the conversation going over there. I don't think I forgot that you told me that I have some sort of weird, unique movement to my body. So now I'm self-conscious. Now I'm going to be going into the mirror and really critiquing the way that I move.
Well, you can't, but it's when you're walking, you can't necessarily look at yourself in a mirror while you're walking. So yeah. It's all that. It's where your spine leads you.
So what, do you think I have scoliosis or something? Like,
no, I'm just saying it's your shoulders and your spine lead you, that's all.
All right. Well, I see you as a pretty homogenous human, so we'll I'm not gonna rip on you, but this was fun.
More of like the Hurricane type Chris Farley style. No, maybe not these days as much, but
you do one thing where like sometimes you put your hands behind your back when you're thinking, like, but that's not really a body type thing. That's just more of like you doing that.
Yes.
But that's the most I can shit on you right now. I didn't come prepared to have my defenses up.
That's because I have an old baseball injury that I'm always stretching, but it is a way to stay open to a person.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, this has been fun, Doug. We gotta
crank. This is good to get the pod muscles moving again. It's good stuff.
Yeah, very nice. All right, we'll figure out what we title this probably at the end here, but look for this and hopefully for more episodes coming from us soon. All right, peace, Doug.
Peace.